When I was about the age that Bonnie and Nikki are, it was customary for my younger sister and I and our friends to spend Saturday morning at the movies. We would walk uptown in Whittier, and for 25 cents, we could get a ticket and some popcorn and see our favorite characters and their adventures for hours on end. Almost every episode of those adventures ended with the main character of the story plunging into some danger that looked to be catastrophic. The Saturday morning cliffhanger was always exciting, and we couldn't wait to return the next week to see how they could possibly survive to continue their adventures. Well, last Sunday, Rick told you about Bathsheba and Uriah and the corrosive influences of power and empire. You will recall that King David had decided that he wanted Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah. Believing that he was entitled to have what he wanted, because he wanted it, he arranged for Uriah to be killed in battle. When word comes that Uriah has been killed in battle, the king does a really magnanimous thing. He marries the broken-hearted war widow. And they lived happily ever after? I don't think so. End of story? Not quite. If it were the end of the story, one might conclude that David was justified in his actions. But the story continues. Reading from the Message. But God was not at all pleased with what David had done, and sent Nathan to David. And Nathan said to him, "There were two men in the same city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had huge flocks of sheep, herds of cattle. The poor man had nothing but one little female lamb, which he had bought and raised. It grew up with him and his children as a member of the family. It ate off his plate and drank from his cup and slept on his bed. It was like a daughter to him. One day a traveler dropped in on the rich man. He was too stingy to take an animal from his own herds or flocks to make a meal for his visitor, so he took the poor man's lamb and prepared a meal to set before his guest. David exploded in anger. As surely as God lives, he said to Nathan, the man who did this ought to be lynched. He must repay for the lamb four times over for his crime and his stinginess. Nathan looked at David and said, you are that man. And here's what God, the God of Israel, has to say to you. I made you king over Israel. I freed you from the fist of Saul. I gave you your master's daughter and other wives to have and to hold. I gave you both Israel and Judah. And if that hadn't been enough, I'd have gladly thrown in much more. So why have you treated the word of God with brazen contempt, doing this great evil? Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against God. The psalm that you heard Vicki read this morning has a little heading over the top, a note to the leader, that says that this psalm is a prayer by David after his experience with Bathsheba and Uriah. From Psalm 51, we hear David's agonized prayer of petition and contrition. The psalm begins with a cry for forgiveness, emphasizing the urgency of the situation with a series of Hebrew verbs, which are translated, have mercy, blot out, wash, and cleanse. The picture behind the Hebrew word translated transgressions is one of rebellion, as when children rebel against their parents. The word translated as iniquity literally means to be bent out of shape. Then there is that pesky word, sin. Balancing these words, says Rolf Jacobson, who is the associate professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Balancing these words are three Hebrew picture words for forgiveness. Blot out is also used in the sense of to wipe, like a dirty dish. To wash could better be translated as to scrub, as one scrubs dirty clothes. We often hear that sin and forgiveness are what it's all about, that it's the most important thing to think about. But Marcus Borg, in his book, Speaking Christian, writes that sin is not the only metaphor for the human condition to be found in scriptures. He reminds us that Israel's bondage in Egypt was not the result of sin, and rather than forgiveness, the people of Israel needed liberation. The need of Israel during the Babylonian exile was not forgiveness, but a path of return home. Borg goes on to say that another biblical image for the human condition is infirmity, illness, blindness, paralysis. Do these require forgiveness? No. What's needed is healing and wholeness. When we are hurt, when we are wounded, we need to hear, as Rick told the children, that there is a sincere desire to restore relationship, healing, wholeness. Verse 12 of the psalm brings us to another request for forgiveness and the familiar words that you heard Vicki read. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The verb create in the Hebrew Bible always has God as the subject. And the result of the activity is always something entirely new. The prayer of Psalm 51 is for a brand new beginning, a fresh start, a new clean spirit. But how is that done? How is that clean heart created? Perhaps the dialogue you were about to hear will help answer those questions. Hello, I'm your customer service representative. How can I help you today?
Well, after much consideration, I've decided to install Love. Can you guide me through the process?
Yes, I can help you. Are you ready to proceed?
Well, I'm not very technical, but I think I'm ready to install now. What do I do first?
The first thing is to open your heart. Have you located your heart, sir?
Yes, I have. But there are several other programs running right now. Is it okay to install while they're running?
What programs are running, sir?
Well, let's see. I've got pasthurt.exe. I've got lowesteem.exe, grudge.exe, and resentment.com running right now.
No problem. Love will gradually erase pasthurt.exe from your current operating system. It may remain in your permanent memory, but it will no longer disrupt other programs. Love will eventually overwrite lowesteem.exe with a module of its own called highesteem.exe. However, you have to completely turn off grudge.exe and resentment.com. Those programs prevent love from being properly installed. Can you turn those off, sir?
I don't know how to turn them off. Can you tell me how?
My pleasure. Go to your start menu and invoke forgiveness.exe. Do this as many times as necessary until grudge.exe and resentment.com have been completely erased.
Okay, done. Love has started installing itself automatically. Is that normal?
Yes. You should receive a message that says it will reinstall for the life of your heart. Do you see that message?
Yes, I do. Is it completely installed?
Yes, but remember that you have only the base program. You need to be connecting to other hearts in order to get the upgrades.
Oops. I have an error message already. What should I do?
What does the message say?
It says error 412, program not run on internal components. What does that mean?
Don't worry, sir. That's a common problem. It means that the love program is set up to run on external hearts, but has not yet been run on your heart. It is one of those complicated programming things, but in non-technical terms, it means you have to love your own machine before it can love others.
So what should I do?
Can you pull down the directory called self-acceptance?
Yes, I have it.
Excellent. You're getting good at this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Click on the following files and then copy them to the My Heart directory. ForgiveSelf.doc, RealizeWorth.txt, and AcknowledgeLimitations.doc. The system will overwrite any conflicting files and begin patching any faulty programming. Also, you need to delete VerboseSelfCritic.exe from all directories and then empty your recycle bin afterwards to make sure it is completely gone and never comes back.
Got it. My heart is filling up with new files. Smile.mpg is playing on my monitor right now, and it shows that peace.exe and contentment.com are copying themselves all over my heart. Is that normal?
Sometimes. For others, it takes a while, but eventually everything gets downloaded at the proper time. So love is installed and running. You should be able to handle it from here. One more thing before I go.
Yes?
Love is freeware. Be sure to give it and its various modules to everybody you meet. They will in turn share it with other people and they will return some similarly cool modules back to you.
I will. Thanks for your help. By the way, what's your name?
You can call me the Divine Cardiologist, also known as the Great Physician, but most call me God. Most people feel all they need is an annual checkup to stay heart healthy, but the manufacturer, me, suggests a schedule of daily maintenance for maximum efficiency. Put another way, keep in touch and keep praying. Would you join me in prayer? God of creation, there are so many things we want. We want to eat the best food. We want to wear stylish clothes. We want to do what we want when we want to do it. We want to be popular and successful. Create in us hearts full of gratitude and a new spirit of generosity. God of justice, when we see sin is built into the structures of society and people are bound by narrow-mindedness or blinded by prejudice or exiled by rejection, create in us courageous hearts and spirits willing to find a way to change things. We know that some people are wounded and hurting. And today we pray for those we know are suffering. We pray for Kathy Rosengreen, who has lost her father. May she and her family be surrounded with the nearness of your presence. We pray for peace for Paul and David. We pray for Penny and Madeline, Ronnie, Nancy and Bob, Lydia and Peter. We pray for Neil as she undergoes surgery, that the skilled hands of her doctor will bring her healing and wholeness. God of unconditional love, renew us all with joy and peace, and open us to the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.